dbkmediaservices.com. You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, John Bruce, and Bruce Knox.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. This is show 231. We are indeed in season 8, and all of them so far, and hopefully in the future, will be brought to you by Triple Crown Family Fun Center. That's just a great place to have a party or a gathering. You can do all kinds of things there. They're located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, right off of Bridge Street, just behind the Hampton Inn. Open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. You can get all kinds of good eats there. You can play all kinds of good games in the sports arcade in the super inflatable land. And, of course, they have inflatable rentals. They do have the new state-of-the-art limousines and party vans, which John Bruce and I are constantly mentioning to the management of this fine podcast, just in case that, you know, they would like to partake of those. But you can get a idea for whatever you want to do at Triple Crown Family Fun Center by giving them a call at 740-773-7529 and look them up on the web. Good place to start at TripleCrownFamilyFunCenter.com. Remember, when you think of fun, think of Triple Crown. And indeed, I do want to bring in the other two gentlemen who are joining me this day or this evening, whenever you happen to be listening to this. First, Mr. John Bruce, how are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you doing, Bruce?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. It's been a kind of a crappy weekend. The Buckeyes... Well, they didn't play last night, I don't think. We're recording on this on Sunday night, so we look back over the weekend, and good football on Friday night, terrible football on Saturday night, some okay football today. We're still waiting to see what our local team does, that being the Cincinnati Bengals. And John told me just before we started taping that he was hopeful for a Kansas City win. And then he further refined that, didn't you?
Yeah, I got lucky in my fantasy drafts and ended up with Patrick Mahomes. So I'm not going to act like I'm some fantasy guru, but just dumb luck. So I'm rooting for points tonight.
We know better. That's right. That's exactly right.
Exactly.
And then the soothsayer of SVC Sports, Mr. Shane Combs. Shane, how are we?
Oh, I'm ready to roll tonight, Bruce. Good rest this weekend. We had Friday off there and was able to get out and about and do some things. Ended up seeing an incredible football game Friday night, and then a good weekend. Ready to go here.
All right. Well, let's get to it then. First, we're going to talk with Shane a little bit about our feedback heavy this past week regarding our volleyball discussion last week. And so what did you learn, Shane? I'm sure the audience tried to school you on several things. What did you learn about the league from all this feedback?
Well, I think the first thing I learned is I'm an idiot. And, you know, fans are probably out there saying, well, yeah, Shane, we knew that. You don't have to start the show with that. In all seriousness, I have to throw out an apology. I know I did on Twitter earlier in the week to Kristen Phillips of Westfall there. And, you know, as we've said, in 20 some years of teaching and coaching, you have brothers and sisters and you call people by who knows what name. But to do it on SVC Sports Talk when you're naming your all league team, that's unacceptable. So in all seriousness, I do apologize to her. But, Phillips is an awesome, awesome talent. We ended up seeing that here in the sectional tournament. They had the toughest draw out of anybody in SVC volleyball. And she starts the week with 26 kills and then has 19 in a near upset there of Wheelersburg. They take the state ranked undefeated Wheelersburg team to four sets and lose 25-23. Just about was able to push that to a fifth set. But We'll obviously talk more SVC volleyball later, but that's a really interesting Westfall team, and Phillips is obviously right there at the center of that with 2 years to go. I've said in the past, I think she's a future player of the year type of talent in our mm-hmm. league, and you know, 2 years into this, I certainly don't backtrack from that. A kid that can really take the game over at the net, and I think the more they get comfortable and figure out how they want to utilize her in the rotations when she comes off the net, that's when the complete player is going to form. So, again, I wanted to start with that. As far as the feedback goes, guys, I think what I've learned the most is with a league that has so much talent and you have balance of a lot of good teams, I think it really depends on when you watch someone play. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I learned the most from the feedback. I think I've watched every team play at least three times. I've watched every team at least three times. I think I've watched some play as many as six, seven, eight. And I think what happens is, you know, if you're in a Dean or a Uniota, your opinion of Zane Trace may be a lot different than, say, someone like a Huntington who beat Zane Trace twice. Mm-hmm. Or many teams earn Uniota's respect, whereas Southeastern, kind of outside of those head-to-head matches, really kind of dominated the league. I don't have it in front of me, but I don't even think they were pushed to a fifth set by any other team. I think that has a lot to do with if you watch a particular team play 20, 21, 22 times in a year, and you only see these other kids play two times or maybe a third or fourth time, or, you know, I know you watch them in club or so forth, but in terms of how they perform during the year, I think a lot of times it's just going to depend on the matchup and in terms of when you see them. I thought the league in their vote of Evie Bennett, Skylar Heiss, very good selections. I don't have a problem with those particular kids being honored with special awards because I think those two kids are really, really good players. I had them on my Player of the Year watch. Mm-hmm. I love the Heiss pick at Player of the Year. I know I went Goble, but make no mistake about it. I think they and I said this last week. I think they're a 1-2 punch that has a lot to do with what Southeastern's accomplished over the last several years. But to me, the defensive player of the year is really interesting. Not because Bennett wins it. Again, Bennett's a terrific player. Her being honored with any special award is just fine with me because she's terrific talent. I just think it's interesting that they go away from the libero. Not winning it just because I think the nature of that award or that particular award was kind of designed for that particular type of player, if I understood correctly. And then, you know, you get into some of the format and so forth. It's tough. I went with Pinkerton. I thought that was a no-brainer. Obviously, they've opened a new type of voting there with Bennett winning that. And that's okay because if you remember, I kind of opened – a discussion last week of Pinkerton being in the Player of the Year vote, mm-hmm. which, you know, again, Defensive Player of the Year is not really able to win both. So good discussion, great, great players. I thought the overall list was good. The further discussion, the toughest calls for me, certainly Adina's roster was certainly one of the more difficult things for me to sort through. Paint Valley's Kelsey Dunn was really hard for me because, again, their record, yet it was hard for me to kind of, you know, not, you know, to justify not making her a top 21 talent. And then the league's format continues. I'm going to say it every year, guys, just because I can't get away from it. The league's format bothers me. The mm-hmm. number of kids. I just think when you're going to tell me that putting a Macy Conley or an Amber Cottrell on all league waters it down, then we're just going to have to agree to disagree because it doesn't. And I think those are the types of kids that are being left off because volleyball is not given the same opportunity to highlight the same percentage of kids as some of our other sports. So a lot of fun every year. I know I had a lot of discussion this week with people. And that's fun as well because, you know, just about all of it was in good spirit, good, just back and forth conversation. And, it's fun to highlight our kids.
Shane, do you have any like diehard volleyball fans that write in and tell you who they think should be in each position?
I do. Probably it varies year to year. Probably anywhere from 5 to 10 people a year will do that. Mm-hmm. Now some will do a hardcore full list. Some will just kind of throw out, you know, maybe five, 10 names. Some people just want to talk player of the year. Some people might want to just talk defensive player of the year. Mm-hmm. I just actually had read an email about an hour ago questioning why I'm so strong with the player that plays all the way around compared to the kid that just hits or just plays, you know, a particular role. So I would say volleyball, the fans are probably some of the most productive in terms of our feedback, and this shouldn't be a surprise because of the level of volleyball we have in our area, but our volleyball emails are oftentimes our most intelligent too, that you can tell that, you know, volleyball is a big deal in our area.
Mm-hmm. All right. And John, I know you were keeping watch, I think it was Friday, over the tennis situation. And why don't you give us a quick recap there of what Sylvia did and the comments about that?
Mm-hmm. She ended up losing her first round match to just a really good, really talented player from Shaker Heights. She got off to a slow start. She lost the first set 6-1. Everything I'd heard was there was some adversity going on in that was outside of her control. And just kind of that's and a lot of tough points. I think Coach Gray said either two or three of the games went to deuce, which mm-hmm. is, you know, yeah. And then, you know, she could have just let down, but then she ended up forcing a tiebreak in the second set, mm-hmm. but lost that one 7-6, and the tiebreak was 7-5. So she finishes the year 25-1, which is insane.
Yeah.
I don't want to say her full career record because I don't have it right offhand. Mm-hmm. It's a lot in three. yeah. She had her third straight perfect season, regular season, perfect through the sectional, perfect through the district, and then her third straight trip to the state tournament in Mason. That's just, I mean, with it being two divisions and, you know, a lot of the private schools end up being in the second division, makes that it's very difficult for her to advance. But, you know, it shouldn't be anything. She had by far the most competitive first round match out of the, you know, the first round matches. Mm-hmm. It just happened. Tough draw. It's going to happen. You're going to have to beat everybody anyway. But just, it's really fun to follow her. She's a great kid. And I really look forward to seeing how she does next year. And it's probably going to be a pretty solid regular season for her again, mm-hmm. obviously. Mm-hmm. But I know she wants to try to get to that second day of the state. And I think that, you know, she puts so much work into it and she's so skilled that I think it's definitely possible. It's really exciting that she's got one more year at Unioda.
That's what I was just going to ask. I was thinking she was a junior, but, have you heard anything about, going on for Sylvia? Is she looking forward to playing tennis in college?
I believe so. It's everything I've heard mm-hmm. is yes, but you never know how these things happen. But I know there's a lot of schools in the area, Division I programs that are looking at her. Mm-hmm. Her playing in a lot of these elite tournaments in the summer and the spring that has to help her on that. So that's something else to look for, is to see what her decision ends up being as far as school goes.
Right.
I'm sure she's looking for more than just at the tennis program and what she can do, you know, with the majors they offer and everything. So there's a lot to it. And, I know she's got a really good, support system.
Yeah.
So she'll definitely make a wise choice, and that'll be something else to look forward to.
Well, our tip of the hat to Sylvia. Mm-hmm. She's one of the, just kind of, you know, we follow her and just are in awe of her mm-hmm. abilities. You'll get them next year, Sylvia. We're pulling for you. Shane, let's talk a little bit about cross country. I know we had the district cross country meet at Rio Grande, and we had some feedback on cross country. And you kind of tipped me off that some of this even led to a little bit of controversy. So why don't you talk about that? It's on the all-league team, I believe.
Well, yeah, we'll get to the district cross country meet down at Rio here in just a second. I guess the one thing that's kind of come up this week, and I hate it because we're really talking about two different things here, and I want to be clear on that. Okay. One, we want to highlight kids, and they've done nothing wrong. You know, I mean, kids have just gone out, worked hard, and earned what they've earned. I think the controversy comes more in terms of something the league's going to have to address moving forward. But, you know, basically what happened was on the boys' side in the All-League, we mentioned last week that there's seven people that run on your cross-country team, and you count your top five.
I see.
Is the format that's been explained to me that's still been around for quite a while now. But a lot of times what will happen is, you know, they'll let extra kids run. Just like in golf, a lot of times you'll let an extra kid go out and play, and you understand that he or she's not counting. They're just getting the experience of playing. Well, what's happened is with the level of talent in the Uniota program, they obviously, with their eighth and ninth runner in the SVC meet, finished inside the top 15.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as I announced on last week's show, Coach Paxton there at Uniota had let me know that the top seven would make it, that 8-9 would not be, which ended up on the website. We had Bryce Morganson of Piketon and Emmett Cunningham of Edina, both juniors, that were added to the All-League team, and that knocked off the eighth and ninth Uniota runners, which would be Matt Spettenhagel and then Ashton Kinnison. Well, the come to find out, as the week went on, I had confirmed from three different sources that they went and went with the straight top 15 runners as the All-League. Well, again, obviously this is two different things we're talking about. The first thing I want to do is congratulate Spettenhagel and Kinnison there of Uniota, because I know how hard those particular kids work at Uniota. I know how hard they run. I know how hard they train. And the performance-wise, more than earned. I think what I'm being asked to do, I know around the league there were some people bothered by this, and even as adults were saying this, they even said this was nothing against the Uniota kids. They congratulate those kids. They're just talking about what the format needs to be moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what's happened here, guys, is this has never been an issue, because what's happened in the past, if we've ever let teams do this, is we'll just let them run for experience or whatever. Well, now all of a sudden you have such a unique program in Uniota that you have kids that are, you know, basically mm-hmm. outside the lineup finishing all league and knocking kids out of spots. I guess for me, I've reached out to the league, and I haven't been able to get a hold of anyone directly. It's been a little email, phone tag, so forth. I guess I just need to try to understand in this particular situation, in something as big as the SVC meet, why we're running more than the seven. If I understand the cross country rule, I guess that's the issue that I would have with it. Now, if you're going to let them run and you don't establish a rule up front, mm-hmm. then I think you have to individually, I guess, let the kids be honored, because obviously it's not affecting the team score, because you only count the top five. The other people do not impact the team score, really. So that part of it, if you're going to let them run, I guess my question is the format in terms of how it'd be addressed. I mean, to me, it would be like playing six in basketball or you know, 10 defenders in baseball, which – John, mm-hmm. I think you and I would agree sometimes having that fourth outfielder against an offense like Zane Trace would help.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it's one of those things where if the lineup's seven, I guess in something as big as the SVC, I'm not sure why we're even running an eighth, ninth, tenth kid in the particular race. And if we do, I just think these are some format things we need to get addressed. But until we do I have a problem with those kids being all league? I guess I don't, because, I mean, they went out and they performed at an all league level. So it is a tough question for me to answer. I think it's something that the league needs to address, but it is something that I certainly didn't want to dodge on this week's show. I wanted to throw it out there because I think it's something our league needs to talk about. But at the same time, I wanted to use the opportunity publicly to congratulate Spettenhagel and Kinnison there being added. So if you go back to the website, you'll see the All-League kids in bold there on the boys list, the way I was informed to change it. And then there was no changes on the girls' side. And then on your original question there, Bruce, it was a pretty good weekend for us. It really was. Uniota wins district title. Westfall advances as well. Piketon's Klinkler. And then Division III, Adina's Cunningham. And then on the D2 side in girls, Uniota Spetnagel goes out. On the D3 side, Zane Trace advances. Westfall's Henry and Barnes. And then Huntington's Hopkins. Those are all our headlines there on our cross-country page. If you go and check it out, it takes you to a real good page. Based on number of teams in the particular race, there's kind of a different number of teams, number of individuals not on those teams that qualify. And those are the ones we have. So they'll be heading off to the regional this weekend, and it'll just be exciting to continue to follow there. Obviously, the Uniota team, and then now as you get to the regional level, it could be a little harder on the Zane Trace girls. They're certainly capable, but the nice thing there is I think we have some individuals that are more than capable of competing at that level. So we'll certainly keep an eye on that this weekend and look forward to it.
Do you know where they run this weekend? Is it Pickerington?
I believe it's Pickerington. I know in D2, it's Pickerington. Yes, all of them are Pickerington. So the regional tournament is in Pickerington. And again, D2 boys, that's your Uniota, Westfall, and Piketon. D3 boys, we have the Adina representation with Cunningham. D2 girls with Spetnagel individually. And then the D3 girls, Zane Trace's team. The two Lady Mustangs, Henry and Barnes. And then Huntington's Hopkins there on our headline. And again, you can go on there, click here for all the results it'll say, and you can go and see the individual races.
Okay, we'll be watching that. Guys, we're going to kind of take a break here. Up next, John's going to give us his thoughts on the elite soccer talent in the SVC. This section of the podcast is going to be brought to you by the North Fork Animal Clinic. Dr. Blake Lloyd and his staff at 2260 Anderson Station Road in Chillicothe are open 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, Saturday 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. And then, of course, they've got the pet resort there Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Telephone number again, 740-773-7387. And just remember that they are the official veterinary practice for the Stars, including our very own John Bruce. And we're gonna kind of pick on John now because he is the man that knows the most about soccer. And as we promised last week in our show, he was going to do some picking here. So we're going to turn this over to you, John. Why don't you kind of explain first this? First, we're going to go with girls soccer. And why don't you explain sort of your format up front before you actually give the choices?
All right. So with this being the first year of SEC soccer in the girls league officially, I've decided to go with two separate teams of 11. Split up by their positions, so it won't just be loaded in certain spots. Like you'll see a lot of like the all Ohio stuff at the end of the year. A lot of positions will be forward and midfield without a lot of defenders. Well, I played defense, so we're not leaving defenders off of this. And I'm just kind of going with the basic 4-4-2, four defenders, four midfielders, two forwards. Going to be on each team. Also, I have some special mentions because there's a lot of soccer talent in this league. First off, I'll go with my player of the year. If you've paid any attention to the show, if you paid any attention to soccer in the area, you know it's Jayla Campbell from Uniota. We have several quality players, but Jayla's just at another level. Led Uniota to a gold ball season. They went 4-0-0 in the league with missing multiple games and only playing parts of others with an injury. She still had 19 goals and 10 assists, 104 career goals, which is the Ross County record. She is just outstanding all-around player, plays in the midfield, but with her goal totals, you wouldn't know that if you're just looking at it. So she's my player of the year.
Okay.
And then for coach of the year, I know it's on the SVC list. It just had one coach from UNIA listed, but from everything I know, it's their co-coaches. So I guess I have a co-coach of the year, but it goes to the UNIA coaches, Kara Rathkamp and Kendra Dalton. Coach Sauer does a great job at Zane Trace, but I just had to give it to the gold ball winners. Both of them played Division I soccer. They've brought just another level of tactical soccer to the area. And UNIA is very blessed to have these two. They do an outstanding job. 4 years they've been there. Yes, it helps to have someone like Jalen Campbell during those 4 years, but they didn't miss a beat. Once Jayla went out, they've just done an outstanding job building that program and just really making it what it is today. So I'll go to my first team.
Okay.
And for the goalkeeper, I have Sydney Free from Uniota. Outstanding tactical goalkeeper, very athletic, made several diving saves from games I've been to. Doesn't always rack up a lot of saves, but she's also very involved in the game. Even when she's not being attacked a whole lot. Now to defense. First up, I have Asaisha Kaufman from Uniota. Just a really good two-way player. Gets involved in the offense, but just outstanding one-on-one defender. She made a save the other day. In UDA's tournament game on a ball that was going in and made a great hustle play to cover it. Mm-hmm. She plays left back, which tends to be the majority of strong offensive players being right footed. A lot of them come down their right side to the left side for defense. So she sees a lot of high end talent and, has to be really solid there. Next up, Maddie Massey from Zane Trace. I watched her earlier this year slow down Jayla Campbell a good bit. I watched her in other games focus in on the other team's best player. Really good one-on-one defender. Shadowed the other team's best player all over the field. The Butterworth girl from North Adams had scored over 30 goals, and she didn't get a good look until the last, 3 minutes against Zane Tracy the other night because the defense Maddie played on her. Next, Marcy Dudgeon from Westfall. This one was kind of tricky for me because I'd seen Westfall play 3 times, and 2 of the times she played goalie. The other time she played defender, and I know she split a lot of time, so that's why I just thought I'd put her with the defense. She just makes an impact wherever she's at. Very athletic player, very heady, has a really good head for the game, and was one of those impactful players that makes a difference. And then my last defender on the first team, this is really difficult because there's a lot of good choices, but I went with Jaden McKell. She's a freshman from Uniota. She plays outstanding defense overall, and with her just being a freshman, she's going to be a really special player when the time comes, as she gets older and more physically mature. She's going to be really special. And, obviously she's special already if I'm willing to put her on first team.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Then moving on to midfield. Obviously, I mentioned Jayla Campbell, player of the year. She would be the head of that. Next up from Zane Trace, Alexis Guffey. A really tough, hard-nosed, physical player, also very skilled. Just somebody you want in that center midfield and that holding midfield position, can really take over a game with her presence alone. And then add in that she's very talented also, really will help keep St. Trace afloat after they lose a whole lot of defenders this year. Then go back to Uniota for the next two. Michaela Thompson, senior right wing. She's 14 goals, 13 assists. She is just constantly attacks the other team. Very fast, very skilled, very hard nosed. It's just the exact type of attacking midfielder you'd want, is what she provides that team. And then for the last spot, Sophia Garza from Uniota, very versatile, fast, physical, just really skilled player. She stepped in when Jayla got hurt. She moved up from a defensive mid to a more of an attacking mid, and she hasn't missed a beat. Just really, really, really solid player. She's going to be one. Her stats will stand out a little bit more next year, but as of now, she's just, if you just watch her, you can just tell how much she means to that team.
Okay.
And then going to go to my two forwards. First up, Hannah Addy from Zane Trace. She had 15 goals in the year. Only one other player had multiple goals. She was virtually their entire offense for most of the year. I haven't seen her take a playoff. I've watched them five or six times. Just flies to the ball. Just outstanding player. Really skilled. Super fast. Doesn't back down from anybody. It's just the type of player you want on your team because of how hard she plays. Just really fun player to watch also. And then Sierra Mitten is the last spot on my forwards. If you just look at around the league or really anywhere in the district, a player with 7 goals and 3 assists, you know, that's a good year.
Mm-hmm.
She did that in one game. So, you know, from other times I've watched her, I've thought she probably could step up her aggressiveness a little bit. Obviously, she wasn't missing a beat that night, but she's very talented, very skilled, you know, just outstanding player. And if she steps up her aggressiveness, she's going to be one to watch out for every night instead of just those standout efforts like that.
Okay.
All right, then going to my second team, goalkeeper, Lily Clark from Zane Trace. Her and Sydney Free split the goalkeeper of the year in the SVC, and I have seen nothing wrong with that at all. Lily was just lights out every time I watched. Maybe wasn't used tactically as much as Free, but, man, she always got herself in the right position, made several acrobatic saves, really aggressive, just really good goalkeeper. It's going to be a big time player to have back for the Coach Sauer next year when she's a senior.
Okay.
Then going to defense, I have two from Uniota with Shishi Mikkel and Elena Gano. These two just really, really sound fundamental players. Gano had some injury issues throughout the year, but was really turned it on late in the season. Mikkel is just really quiet. That doesn't make mistakes, and that's what you want out of a central defender. There's times you wouldn't even know she was out there, but that also happens to be why they don't give up a lot of goals.
Mm-hmm.
Then moving on to Westfall, I had Lindsay Yates. When I watch, this is kind of like what you said, Shane, with it's when you see them. Yates was outstanding every time I watched. I know she didn't get a mention on the All League, but I thought she was really solid defender, really good all around player, and just in the games I watched. So, you know, maybe there are other times where other players stepped up, but I was very impressed with her all season. A lot to look forward to with her as a sophomore. Another senior from Zane Trace, Gabby Wysinski. She played their right back. She was great hustle player, really, really solid one-on-one defender. Did a really good job in the help side defense, which you don't always see with soccer. But she was just really solid, good all-around player for Zane Trace. Then going to my midfield, I've got a pair from Westfall. with Chloe Tandler and Ariana Cease. Both of them just really, really physical players. Tandler had a couple of really nice goals when I was there. Cease just constant effort. These two make Westfall go and help get them to that first sectional championship in school history that they got this past week. Next, I have Bree Fetters from Zane Trace. She was their second leading scorer. She moved all around, but just very active, good player, moves up and down the field very well. Offensive and defensive midfielder, very solid player. It's going to be one of those big pieces for them moving forward next year. And then my last midfield spot, I have Kylie Bethel from Uniota, another player that had a lot of injuries this year. But, man, when she's on, she is just a very good, exciting player to watch and very smart player. And you can tell with some of the injuries that she is kind of being more heady than probably most players in the area. But she knows when to – she picks her spots, always plays hard, but really picks her spots and knows where and when to make her breaks. Then moving forward, I have Mahaley Farmer from Westfall. I don't have their stats, but I would say she was probably in the top five in the league in scoring. Really, really big athletic player. Very active. Just every time I watched, she was making something happen. And just really good young player, only a sophomore. And then another sophomore with my last spot on the second team is Erin Callahan from Uniota. Callahan, she's a player that maybe she gets overlooked because she doesn't have a whole lot of goals, which you might not think, you know, a forward should probably score. But she just completely dominates her area. She makes room for her teammates. And just, she can really make a lot happen with her physical play. She's fast. She's got a really nice shot. She scored two goals in Uniota's sectional championship win yesterday. And just really solid all-around player. Probably will score more next year. But even if she doesn't, you can just, if you go and watch them play, you can just tell how much she means to that team. Mm-hmm. And then I have just some other players I want to mention because there's just so much talent in the league. Mm-hmm. From Piketon, Cameron Alexander, and Allie Crothers. They had a tough season, but at the same time, these two players, a lot of effort. Alexander had a great year in goal. Ton of saves. Crothers was one of their leading scorers. They're going to miss these two. For Southeastern, Kenzie Pop and Sydney Huff. Pop did an outstanding job in goal also this year. Faced a lot of pressure in some of the games I was at, but just stood up and did a really good job. Huff was big in that same game with Mittens, big game. And she's only a sophomore, will be big moving forward for the Lady Panthers. For Westfall, Madeline Yates, really solid midfielder, really good overall player. Really tough to not have her in a spot, but she's a big time player for Westfall and one to look for when they play Wheelersburg this week in the district. Zane Trace had Gracie Dunkel and Savannah Addy. Dunkel's a senior, another one of those really good senior defenders. Savannah Addy, midfielder, just like her sister, just constant effort. Really fun players to watch. She's only a freshman. She'll have big things in her future also. And then from Uniota, I mean, there's a lot, but these are all very valuable players. Mm-hmm. I'll just say freshman first, Gracie mm-hmm. Heath, Elle Pelletier, Avery Miller, just really fundamentally sound players, going to be a big impact for that team. And then three sophomores, Brandy Robinson, Amelia Willis. Willis was their third leading scorer on the year, and she came off the bench for the majority of the year. And then also Abby Seals. Abby Seals is one of the best defenders in the league, and she doesn't start for Uniota. And she's just an outstanding overall player. really stepped up big for them there, that Hillsborough game yesterday. But I think all of these players, I think the world of these girls, they all play hard. Really made it a lot of fun for me this year going out and watching all these games. I'd kind of been out of the soccer loop the last couple of years. And then when Shane asked me to come on, I decided to kind of get back out there. And, man, I'm glad because it was – I mean, there wasn't a night where I went out other than it being super cold and windy a few times. That was the only complaint I had at any point how these teams played. But
yeah, really, John, your first team's obviously loaded. But, yeah, man, that second team in honorable mention would stick their nose in and compete, wouldn't they? I mean, if you're out there, that's good list.
Yeah, that's why I was like, I gotta get these mentioned out there, and I'm sure I still miss some players because this is a really good area for soccer. We have a lot to thank with, like, the FCFC, with them, the club. They do a great job getting these girls ready, and a lot of good coaching also.
All right, John. Yeah, that sounds good. We're going to give you a break, and while we do that, Shane and I are going to talk a little golf. This section brought to us by our friends at Crown Hill Golf Club. Again, they're located at 9500 U.S. Route 22 West in Williamsport, and their telephone number is 740-986-4653. And the website, look up all the kind of details you might need, www.crownhillgolfclub.com. And we appreciate everything they do for the SVC and for us here on the podcast as well. And Shane, when we're talking about golf here, tell us a little bit about your reaction that you've received from golf fans and coaches following the state tournament. I know that's kind of been a hot button here the past week.
Well, I think this comes up oftentimes about this time of year, guys, because what happens is you're at the state level and you're playing a golf course like Scarlett there at OSU or over at North Star. You start to get into some different types of fairways that maybe, you know, the kids aren't used to hitting off of. You start to get some different types of bunker shots, some different types of levels of rough. And then the big thing is your speed of greens. And a lot of the more severe breaking or breaks in the green. And I think the comments I hear is a lot of times is you feel like the golf courses around here prepare our kids for that. And I think it's a fair question. I think a lot of times what happens is I think it's the exposure. And John just mentioned the travel soccer. I remember sitting down talking to Jayla earlier in the year and the amount of time and travel and effort she's put into it. And, you know, we mentioned Sylvia Gray earlier. You know, it's only in her summer matches does she even really, you know, I got to thinking during the updates, John, at the state tennis tournament, how many times has Sylvia really faced a deficit? You know, man, she obviously does in the summer, I'm sure, when she's playing in more elite competition and so forth. But that's a hard thing for kids to put into. So like a lot of things we do in golf, Bruce, you know this over the years, I turned to Kevin there at Crown. Yeah, yep. And I just wanted to get his opinion on it. And, you know, Kevin's big thing is it's the practice. It's the exposure and kids getting out and playing. And it's funny how our sports culture has just kind of gone to this route, hasn't it? I mean, in terms of all sports, it's club volleyball, it's Legion baseball, it's, you know, whatever particular sport it is, people talking about the off season exposure and the experience of playing against the elite competition. And he talked about how kids have got to be able to put themselves into these tournament type of atmospheres and play some of these courses. But even if they don't have the financial means or the time or whatever commitment issues there may be, a lot of times it's just going and getting yourself that exposure to these courses or to these practice opportunities to go. So I think that's the biggest thing of that comes back from the feedback there is I think oftentimes we look at our golf courses and I think there's some fairness to that. But I think as Kevin's saying, there's a great opportunity there in the off season, at least once or twice to give yourself an opportunity to get exposed to some of these different types of courses. Guys, I even know when I'm just going out playing for fun, when my brother and I say we'll go travel once or twice a week during the summer, it's a different type of feel when you're just playing casually out on one of those bigger golf courses. It can be somewhat intimidating, the different shots, different elevations, the different speed of putt. All of a sudden you're over top of a 12-footer for birdie, and you know, when I'm sitting there on my home course at JC's, or when I'm up playing Crown Hill where I'm very comfortable, you know, I'm not scared to death of the putt. You know what I'm saying? Where a lot of times, you know, you're afraid. And that just takes experience. I think Kevin makes some great points in terms of you know, we have to do a better job in terms of getting our kids some of this exposure and some of this experience in the off season.
All right. That's good stuff on golf. Now is it kind of done for the season? Are you ready?
Yeah, I think
John?
It is. We'll have different awards and stuff, though. I do want to say real quick, Bruce, we'll have some different lists coming out and stuff for some postseason awards in golf, and make sure you check out the website for those.
Okay. All right. Now, John, are you ready to do boys soccer?
Yeah, I reckon so.
Okay, good. That's
all right.
Good.
So, all right. So, since we didn't have an SBC in boys this year, I decided we'd go with one team, also built by positions. It's going to be a little bit different, but kind of similar. I'm still going to name a lot of kids. But you know, we're going to just go, just one team instead.
Okay. One team.
So if I'm going player of the year, I'm going with Hayden Longcoy from Uniota. And this is where my heart is in soccer is defense. Hayden is just a lights out defender, really solid all around player. Never got shook. You could tell that he nothing bothered him, and he was just a very solid all around player for Uniota. I think he would have been able to play at any of the positions, but they really needed him as a central defender, and was just a really, really good defender all year for them. I look for him to get some district honors, and possibly have a chance to get an All-State honor as a defender. He was that good of a defender, and was that vital to the success that Uniota did have this year.
Okay.
And then move on to the goalkeepers. Kind of what I was looking for when I was doing this was, if I'm going to put together a team from the SBC schools, what is going to give us the best chance to win at the district level, at the regional level? And that's kind of how I built this team. At goalie, my first goalie I have is Stone Willis from Westfall. Man, he faced constant pressure. His goals allowed average was, just to be honest, not good. But when you're facing 30 shots a game, it makes it really difficult to stop. So I would guess his save percentage was one of the highest in the area, just because that kid is just very athletic, really solid goaltender, just really did a good job of, you know, giving Westfall a chance to have some success somewhere on the field, as they had a really long year. But to have a kid like that in goal, had to at least give their defense some confidence that, you know, they had someone good behind them. And then my other goalkeeper I would have would be Andrew Ramsey from Zane Trace. Another very good goalkeeper. In the games I went to, he really did a good job of keeping them in games, even though at times their offense would struggle. And it was with the game against Uniota, outside of the last, I think it was last second of the first half and last 2 seconds of the second half, he had completely shut them down. I mean, Uniota just gets two goals late, but he was just really good goalie. He'll be back next year, only a junior. Is really a player to watch for them. Moving on to my defense, Hayden Longcoy obviously would be first one mentioned there.
Sure.
Second I have from Uniota, Bryce Robinson. Bryce was a two-way player. He started the year in the midfield. There were times where he moved up, but for the most part, he stepped in and played central defender next to Longcoy. And man, when those two were on, they were just lights out. Did a really good job sacrificing stats for the team. I had a really hard time going between him and Longoy for player of the year. He was an outstanding player. Obviously, you should see him kick on Friday nights. Really good leg. Just really good athlete overall. Next, I have Zane Trace, Caden Howard. Strong physical defender. Another very good central defender that could really impact the game. He can get involved in the offense a little bit also. Sometimes a little too much, but at the same time, he could do it. Just really good defender, really good overall soccer player also. I have two from Southeastern next. Eli Dresbach, senior, another central defender. If you can tell, there's a
little theme yeah. there. Yeah,
yeah, a little theme. Really good defender, just solid overall. Didn't get shaken much. He was really good to get an experienced player back on the defense for the Panthers that kept them in a lot of games. And just, really good kid overall also. And the next, this is another theme that you'll see coming. A freshman from Southeastern, Derek Wheeler, big athletic kid, really strong, good athlete. He's going to be a big-time player for Southeastern. He's a kid that's going to be able to play all over the field at some point, but they may need him more in the defense. He's one to really look for. I'm guessing that soccer won't be the only sport you'll hear from him on either. Then going into the midfield, a freshman from Southeastern, Parker George. Parker just dominated the games that I was at that they had won. He just would be all over the field, really good ball handler, finds players really well, good goal scorer. Just this kid's going to be – he's going to be a superstar for the Panthers. They've had some really good soccer players going through there, and he's going to be up there with them when it's all said and done. Next, also from Southeastern, Holden Hartman, a senior, very athletic, physical player, valuable midfielder, really solid for them. Was a player that gave them good experience and kind of helped lead a lot of those freshmen along. Next, Sean Johnson from Zane Trace, heady and talented. He had to sit a few games with an injury early in the year. Really could take over games when he was healthy. You could tell the difference between that team when he got back on the field for them. He's a senior, really, really good player. He'll be missed big time for the Panthers, the Pioneers, my bad. Okay. And then next I have two from Uniota, Vijay Wangui, nonstop motor, could play all over the field, very fast, skilled player. He's one of those kids that whenever I'd see him when I'm substitute teaching, I'm like, shoot the ball, shoot the ball a little bit more. But outside of that, he's just really good overall player and just makes an impact on every game with just his effort. And then next I have Connor Clary, strong defensive midfielder, great motor, won him a game against Alexander with a shot from the outside, have really, really good leg, had a really solid year for the Shermans in the midfield. And then finally I go to my forwards, a freshman from Southeastern, Jacob Lennox. He ended up playing goalie at the end of the year when their goalkeeper David Hall went down with an injury. He could play all over the field, but when he was up front for him, you could just tell the difference he made in the games. Very fast, athletic kid. That Southeastern team is going to be one to watch for in the future if they can stay together and if they can kind of build with some others from the younger grades. They're going to be a team that'll make an impact at least at the district level, in my opinion. Then next one, Zane Trace. I have Christian Fetters. Obviously, if you just like Bryce Robinson, if you see him on Fridays in the football games, he makes an impact there also. Great speed, really strong leg, just kind of deadly in space. He's a really special player, really special athlete for our league. Then I have a pair from Uniota, Ricardo Cerrone, he didn't end up finishing the season with Uniota. Kind of some off the field stuff, but when he was on the field, you could just tell the impact he made. He was an exchange student, so it was just a 1 year thing, but really big impact for Uniota when he was there. Mm-hmm. You could tell the difference when he was gone also. But then Ethan Kearns has my last spot as a forward. Sophomore from Uniota, super athlete, very physical forward. Another one of those kids where whenever I'd see him, I'd be like, hey, shoot the ball. I want to see you guys score. And, you know, he'll be a big-time cog for Uniota if they want to take it to the next level in the next couple years, like I know that they are hoping to, as they have a lot of talent coming up through the ranks. And that's those are my teams for soccer.
All right. We really appreciate you doing that. Mm-hmm. I know Shane and I are a little weak in the soccer department. Is that fair, Shane?
Well, it's good stuff. I know the soccer community here in our league really is going to appreciate that, and that's something we really pride ourselves on in our website and our podcast, is being able to add that particular stuff. So I know I'm speaking for a lot of soccer fans when I know they're really going to appreciate this particular segment this week.
Yep, and that's not easy to do, is it, Shane? Just come up with those lists. I mean, there's
and John said he probably left some people off. I can tell you from experience that there'll be several people in your inbox letting you know who you left off.
Oh yeah, and I'm totally fine with that, because I know I left off some really deserving players, and you know I feel bad about that. But I mean, it's just it's a really solid sport for us. Be great if we had, you know, get a couple more schools into it, but at the same time, with school size, it comes down to just numbers on occasion. But the schools that we do have are doing a really good job with it, and it's really good to see it growing. Because when I was in school, it was two. It was us and Zane Trace, and then Piketon came along at the end. But also, Zane Trace was the only school with a girls soccer team. Okay. Now, 15 years later, and we have a girls soccer league. And then for a year, we had a boys soccer league also. So it's just really exciting as a soccer person to see what our league's doing.
Sure. Yeah.
We appreciate it, John. Guys, up next, we talk football, as one team's on the brink of perfection and half the league is still hoping Friday will not be the final game of the season. Well, this week's football discussion sponsored by our friends again at Crown Hill Golf Club, located at 9500 U.S. Route 22 West in Williamsport. Again, the telephone number up there, 740-986-4653. Call Kevin and his gang and tell them what you're looking for. Little weather might be playing a little havoc with the game at this point, but just remember, too, that they have the banquet facilities up there. All kinds of, holiday parties are just literally around the corner, and you might want to take advantage of that. Look up the information that you're looking for first on their CrownHillGolfClub.com website, and then give them a call. Again, 740-986-4653. Well, let's start, John. We'll start with you as we talk about the regular season through 9 weeks now. I can't believe it, but we've already had 9 weeks. So what was your biggest takeaway with 1 week to go? What are you thinking?
The biggest thing to me, if we just look at the week 10 kind of league championship game, don't let the current season scare away from being positive for the future. I mean, for every school. But last year, Paint Valley goes 3-7. Medina goes 2-8. Now, they're a combined 16-1. They're both going to be in the playoffs. And they're playing for the title in week 10. So for fans of, you know, Zane Trace, Piketon, who are, you know, having disappointing seasons, especially by their standards, you know, don't let the season's results take away from being excited for next year. Because if those kids put in the work that Adina and Payne Valley put in this year in the off season, I mean, watch out for how good this league could be. It's just really exciting to see that what the league turnaround can happen in just 1 year. To me, that's the biggest takeaway for me, and how good the league has been overall also.
Okay. Things change, in other words, right?
Yes.
Yes, they certainly do. Shane, what about you? What's the biggest takeaway with 1 week to go?
Bruce, I think for me, it's even with a 9-0 team and a 1-8 team at the extremes, it's the parody of football. It's the great games. I can't remember loving football this much in recent history as an SVC fan. And I know I'm a basketball, a baseball, golf, even volleyball nut. But I've always enjoyed football, but I just can't remember enjoying the last 2 or 3 weeks. I've just been like a kid in a candy store watching SVC football, some of the great games that I'm getting to watch week in, week out. I've watched all 8 teams in person now. Most of the teams I've seen multiple times, and just some of the atmospheres and the different things. Obviously, people know that my connection to Paint Valley, I'm very proud of the PV kids. I knew Friday night was going to be hard. Remember, I said about 3 weeks ago, Bruce, to tell everybody slow down.
Yeah.
People will be like, oh, they'll go up to Westfall and win the league. It'll be fun or whatever. And I'm like, whoa, slow down. Yeah. I mean, you think just going to Westfall and winning a football game in late October is easy? No. So the 14-14 update that I was getting there, but a shout out to Caden Johnson, 16-yard TD reception. There's another guy for your list, the John. You're wondering all the Paint Valley kids, but I went to the Southeastern Nadina game, and it was just flat incredible. It might be the best football game of the year so far. The offensive line play was insane. The quarterback play with Lane Ruby and Preston Sykes, just special. I'll tell you what, Bruce, real quick, I had some audio there with Preston Sykes after the game. Let's go ahead and run that for the fans, if you don't mind.
Preston, congratulations, bud. The first thing I'd ask you is, just looking at the first quarter there, you lose, if I was seeing it correctly, you lose basically your all-league center off the bat, and then later an all-league caliber running back. Just as a leader and as you're going through that adversity, just kind of talk to me about some of the adjustments you guys had to make throughout the night.
We knew our running game could still be stout, even with Max out. He is our leader on the offensive line, but all the other guys worked just as hard, too. And we knew we had to play for them the whole game, no matter what. I just worked hard all the time, and we knew we had to play for them.
Yeah, it looked to me like a lot of what was going on tonight was just your ability to maybe create something when it wasn't there. You know, you're dropping back, seeing some options in the passing game, and then, you're able to create some things with your feet. Just talk to me about a couple of those third down plays where you're able to scramble and make something happen.
I just kind of trusted my instincts, got a few key blocks from my guys. They did great the whole game, especially the guys up front. I just got the hard work's paying off from the offseason.
You know, earlier in the year when I watched you guys play, the passing game was really kind of a work in progress, but you could see the potential there. Tonight, I had probably, goodness, 4, 5, 6 different guys in my notes. I know Caleb made the big play for you there. Logan made a real nice play on a jump ball kind of play. How would you say the Adina offense kind of evolved here over the last 2 to 3 weeks?
I think our offense is kind of built that we can do just about anything. Fullback runs, running back runs, quarterback, tight end, we can do it all. And I just think it's a well-rounded offense.
Well, last question. I'll let you go celebrate with your teammates. You guys, I don't know if it's because you didn't have that third non-league game. You played Uniota early there when Carroll was still 100%. I'm not sure why, but I just get the feel around the area that maybe Adina was kind of the team that some people forgot about. Now, all of a sudden, you get a chance to go to Paint Valley next week and play for a share of this. As a leader, how do you just kind of get everybody refocused and stay kind of focused at the task at hand?
I don't think I really need to do anything. They all know what's at stake here, and we have a real good shot to get home field advantage for the playoffs and share SVC titles. So we all know we need to come and play and be prepared.
Well, you're a lot of fun to watch. Great kid. I love just watching you in all your sports throughout the year. Best of luck to you.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, that's Preston Sykes, the sophomore quarterback at Adina. And my last comment there, guys, is kind of what I want to say here again on the show this week. This is a really, really good player. Really fun kid to watch. Just has a just kind of has that it factor, John, that we say mm-hmm. when it comes to competing and in a league with some really special quarterback play, as we highlighted, you know, with what Bryce Newland's doing there at Paint Valley and playing some championship football. And then, you know, we know with McCloskey, I know you had a chance to see him play and had a good review of him, the opportunity yeah. there. And then Lane Ruby. I mean, he's insane, man. I'm telling. I even tweeted out shame on a couple Southeastern fans for leaving. I was saying if number 25 hasn't made you a believer yet, what have you been watching the last 3 years? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you think the game's over, and before you know it, Southeastern gets the ball back, and then there he goes, and it's one possession game again. That's just crazy. So, again, just the quarterback play, when you look at the way Shanton's improving, Pack is putting up crazy numbers since he's had to take over there at Piketon, and you know, Gibson and so forth. So, and then even Leffler, I know you had a chance to tweet out some updates. I think what he's done to perhaps lead this team to a playoff run is terrific. So, to me, Bruce, you've heard me talk about these kids throughout. The offensive line play at the top half of our league's been tremendous. But some of these kids are really, really fun to watch. And, you know, they touch it on every play. And when you have a special playmaker at quarterback, he just gives you an opportunity to compete every Friday night. And the Sykes kid certainly did that for the past Friday.
All right. You mentioned playoffs, and I wish I had that little sounder of playoffs. Playoffs.
Playoffs.
Yeah, there you go. That's good, John. You're doing well. You have a future in voiceover.
I had a lot of practice in the past.
Oh, have you been practicing all day today to get that in?
No, that was...
okay, that was spontaneous?
Jim Mora was, like, before YouTube.
Yeah.
You would get on, like, LimeWire or whatever.
Yeah.
Horrible thing to download things on.
Sure.
And we would download Jim Mora quotes just to watch him in press conferences.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I watched a lot of that.
Okay, well, as we were talking about playoffs, why don't you you're the sort of the numbers guy. Why don't you update us on the playoff probability for, PV, Adena, Southeastern, Unioto?
All right, so it looks really good right now. It would take a lot for us to not have all four teams in. Paint Valley, 100% in. They're in the playoffs.
Okay.
If they lose to Adena, their chance for a home game is only 93%. So, more than likely, they're going to have a home game also.
Okay.
Excuse me. And moving on to Adena, also 100% in. If they beat Paint Valley, they will have a home game.
Okay.
If they lose, they'll be on the road. You know, not the worst thing, especially being a year ahead of schedule.
Yep.
Southeastern is about 99% in. They're completely in with a win, but there's so much that has to happen if they do lose for them to not get in that they would still be a 99% chance to be in.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Then Unioto. I think on Joe Idol's website, they're not in yet, but on the Fantastic 50 website, they're in, because I think pretty much the teams, if they would have lose that are on their schedule or that they have already beaten, would have lost to teams that they've already beaten, so they'd already be in. Now, a win gets them a better chance at a more favorable matchup,
mm-hmm.
but it looks like we're going to have four teams in week 11.
All right.
Wow.
Shane, your thoughts on that, other than wow.
Well, I think it's exciting. It's SBC championship week. I know it's not a realistic goal for some, but I think the first thing I would say is let's not lose sight. As exciting as week 11 is going to be, let's not lose sight of an SBC championship game. Yeah, in terms of winning a gold ball or versus the shared title. So I think for me, that's it. Yeah, playoffs is a big deal for communities, for schools, for bands, for cheerleaders. And it sounds like I'm going to have to get an early start on my playoff poetry, which is a SBCSportsZone.com tradition. Sounds like I've got four of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So So I better get going on my rhyming. But that's my initial thought is that's very exciting in the weeks to come. But let's not lose sight of this incredible week 10 that we have in front of us.
Speaking of which, John, what are you expecting this Friday night?
Points. And a lot of them.
Okay.
A lot of points. Adin is going to have to try to outscore Payne Valley to get a league title. They showed on Friday that they can put up a lot of points. They've done it for the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. But Payne Valley's offense is like it's unreal when it's on. So that's going to be a lot. then and the other matchups, I mean, Huntington – They're gonna let Elijah McCloskey loose in his last high school game. That's gonna be something really to look forward to following. Piketon's been playing better. Piketon hosting Unionette on senior night. That could be a really fun matchup, also.
Okay. All right, Shane, your thoughts on this Friday night?
I love how every game has meaning. Yeah. You know, we're sitting here talking about Southeastern Unionette. Probability is one thing. Isn't it better just to make it 100% by winning? You know what I mean?
Like, yes.
Some of those things with Southeastern Unionette, you know, Westfall Piketon going to be two proud programs with opportunity to try to play spoiler. You know, Elijah McCloskey going out, as you mentioned there, in his final career game. What a year he's had. He's got a couple totals that are out there. I know Zane Trace is really banged up, but you know, maybe an opportunity for Zane Trace to regroup and end the season on a positive note. But obviously all eyes in Bainbridge there. The depth of Adina is really going to get tested here. As you heard Preston say in his interview there, when they lost you know, an all-league center, all-league running back, the outlook's not looking good from what I followed up so far this week. So they're going to be really tested. But I think who's really going to be tested is both defensive units here, John, because I think as we get to week 10, Paint Valley and Adina are by far the most complete offenses. You know, I mean, Huntington has the passing game, a Unionette Southeastern run game. These two, I've said for a while now, for two or three weeks, I've been saying that these are the most complete offenses. If they've got to go out and throw for 200 yards to beat you, they can. If they need to line it up and run it at you 40 times for 400 yards, they can do that too. So it's probably because of how good these teams are, it's going to be very important to have some balance and to do some of those things. Really, really exciting. Like I said before, the playoffs are a really cool thing for the community and schools and bands and cheerleaders and all the people involved. But I just think that week 10 is going to be a lot of fun. So let's not overlook that now, because I just think we have some really good football to be played here in the season finale.
Well, we'll all be watching on Friday night. I can't wait already. And it's not even Monday yet for us. So that's coming up in just a few days. Well, guys, in this week's final segment, we look at volleyball and the dominant sectional tournament for the SVC. Well, our volleyball reaction, as we call it, is brought to us by North Fork Animal Clinic, Dr. Blake Lloyd and his staff. And again, they have the Pet Resort open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, Saturday and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. And their veterinary practice open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 to 12. It's the place we care, North Fork Animal Clinic. The official veterinary practice for the Stars, including our very own John Bruce. I just keep dropping that in there, John.
Hey, yeah. I was there multiple days last week.
Well,
so yeah,
I'm sure they're you know, giving you the SVC Sports Zone discount, right?
I think they missed it on the bill, but it's okay. It's okay. We'll get it.
Sounds like you're getting the volume discount from the way you've described that. Well.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk a little volleyball. Shane, last week you mentioned that people should choose their words wisely when describing SVC volleyball. And how did this past week help strengthen your argument?
Well, it certainly didn't hurt it. Yeah. I think it strengthens with, you know, you're talking about an 8-team league, and we get six sectional champions. That's quite remarkable. And then you consider Piketon loses to a league school, so we knew we were going to lose one there in the Piketon Huntington OSVC final. And then I mentioned in the opening, Westfall loses in the fourth set 25-23 to an unbeaten top 10 Berg. They're on the road. So just a remarkable week of volleyball for our league. And, you know, now Dina comes into play. You know, Alexander, a good team there. They'll face Huntington Southeastern, Zane Trace, all going to beat up on one another. Uniota has a great opportunity. You know, I made the comment, you know, about how I don't know that this Uniota team's quite as good as last year's Uniota team, but Uniota is really, really good.
Yeah.
And I think the good news for them is that there's not that Logan Elm type of team out there. They're going to go to the district tournament this week, and they're going to play against really good volleyball teams, which you'd expect to do in a Division II district tournament. But I've seen those particular teams either in the summer or preseason or in season. And for the most part, they're really good teams, but they're certainly beatable teams. So that's exciting. There as well. But, you know, I had a chance Thursday night to go and watch Paint Valley, and then over the weekend here following a lot of different updates and looking at different things. I thought it was a tremendous. The Adena comeback against Minford, really exciting. A lot of credit there. I was joking on Twitter. You know, I couldn't remember the last time they did not win a sectional because I was not in junior high yet. You know, so it's – but that's just remarkable to see some of the things that our volleyball league continues to accomplish. And I certainly think, you know, the one question I had, John, for you before I get to the my Paint Valley segment from my Thursday night coverage was, you know, when you get into a situation here, what you mentioned something got me thinking a couple weeks ago about how the momentum that people get from a junior high tournament or a JV tournament or the way they finish a season. You know, I think the same thing at the varsity level. We just talked about Zane Trace football a second ago, how important that particular game is to them this Friday night. A team that finishes compared to a team that doesn't finish. And what I mean by that is, you know, you play it all the way through, and no matter what the record is, you just keep grinding and grinding and grinding. How much of an impact that truly does have into the offseason and on the future of the program, even if you're a senior and you're going to graduate, what the kind of – particular state you leave the program in. Now, you know, just what's your thoughts on that?
It's just really important. I mean, you got to play it all the way out, because if you don't, I mean, you're going to have probably bad feelings looking back on it if you're that senior. But also, if you play it all the way out and you can just build off of that in the off season, I mean, it's just you make a nice little push at the end of the year. Let's say, I mean, even for Westfall losing to Wheelersburg, but you can go into the offseason, hey, we weren't far off from beating a state ranked team, and getting to the district level, and then kind of go from there. I mean, it's a lot to build off of. You have to have the right mindset, of course, for that. But if you get that right mindset, it's something that can build a program. And, you know, it's obviously with us having the six teams into the district play, I mean, that's a great thing, obviously. But for the two teams that didn't reach, they're not that far off. So, I mean, they have a lot they can build off of, and a lot of positives also.
Well, the reason I asked that question, John, is in covering Paint Valley the other night, I was intrigued by their opportunity in the sectional championship because of what had happened the previous week. You know, if you look back to the previous week, they had no business going toe to toe with Uniota the way they did, but they did. You know what I'm saying? They went in and they were relentless. They got that thing to four, and they were just a few little breaks away from getting it to a fifth set. Then they go and they win a set against Huntington, and that just jumped out at me. And I even made a comment to the three seniors that I really appreciated their effort, because through all the tough road it's been in the SVC for 4 years, it would have been really easy to quit on it. But those scores in the final week tell you that they didn't. And, you know, that results in a sectional championship win the other night down at Western. And I wanted to just highlight the three seniors, and and discuss a little bit of what they had to say. Now, I missed Savannah in the post game, so I had her call in and answer or give us a particular statement. Can we get the call in from Savannah first there? Yeah.
I've waited 3 years for this moment. We have always played very well outside of the SEC, and I think that's a testament to how good our league is. We always make it to the same round and play the same team, and that's where our season has ended these past 2 years. This was our first year to get a bye, and to be able to experience this with my best friends, Kelsey and Leon, and especially my sister, is a moment I'll cherish forever. We have always worked extremely hard to make it here, and I couldn't be more proud of my team.
Well, again, that's Savannah Smith, and she's talking there about just doing this with her classmates, doing this with the younger kids as well, and kind of leaving a mark, and them still now getting an opportunity to go into the district tournament and maybe make even more of a run. There's a couple points I want to make here, Bruce, but let's go ahead and get the word there. I did run into Leah and Kelsey after the match. Let's go with Leah first if you have it there.
Yes, it's very satisfying. We've worked 4 years for this, and to finally see our hard work pay off is awesome. I think we came out tonight and played hard, and I'm proud of our team.
Yeah, again, that's Leah McFadden. I'll talk a little bit more about these particular points here in just a second. Then the last one here is going to be Kelsey Dunn.
I'm just really happy because we placed higher in the seed this year instead of placing at the bottom. We worked really hard tonight.
Well, and the reason I wanted to highlight each of the kids there is, first of all, talk about what Kelsey was speaking of, John. It's so hard to get kids to understand the value of matches throughout the year. You know, you wake up on a Saturday morning and you're playing a non-league match against who knows who, and you try to explain to them how valuable each of these things could be 2 months ago to winning a sectional championship, and it was the success that they were able to have in their entire overall record that got them into the bye situation and getting them into the bracket they were able to get into. And I think all of them kind of talked about how it was a 3 or 4 year grind to do this. And I love how this team is mixed old and young. The other night in this match, done with 22 kills, does a tremendous job. Leah McFadden was everywhere. She was terrific. 10 kills, 21 assists, 20 digs. And then Savannah Smith had the 24 assists. She mentioned her sister Olivia, and this is a unique team, John, the way they've combined the old and the young. Olivia Smith, Abby Stanforth, Bailey Brumfield, Kayla Chapman, all freshmen out there winning sectional title the other night in their first year of varsity volleyball. Olivia Smith with 11 kills, 26 digs. Abby Stanforth had 33 digs. Bailey Brumfield with 20 digs, and then Kayla Chapman has a really good serve, had 3 big aces. Had 6 digs and 4 blocks. She really did a nice job at the net there, helping support Dunn, especially as Dunn went off the floor there in her rotations to the back. So just real happy for them. But I thought, John, I thought of some of your answers as I was watching them celebrate the other night in terms of how they don't quit and how this may just be a small step for now, but what a big step it could be in the years to come, especially with 4 freshmen involved. Mm-hmm. But I think those 3 seniors should be very proud of the fact that they just continued to grind. And I guess my final point, Bruce, would be in your original question of the volleyball segment.
Yeah.
This just shows, again, the level of play. It almost makes you wonder, what would Piketon have done if they would have gotten into a bracket that didn't involve another SVC team? You know, they beat South Webster. They get to that particular match. So oftentimes we're beating up on each other. Just look into this week to come. I know Southeastern, Huntington, Zane Trace going to beat up on each other. Adina having an opportunity in the other bracket there. Uniota over in their own. Paint Valley down in their own. So just it'll be interesting to see, even in matches that we're underdogs in, how well we're able to compete and represent our conference the way we always do. So I know when we do these all-league teams, Bruce, we stay on a little bit longer, but certainly want to give you an opportunity to get final thoughts and any contact information you want to get out there.
Well, let's talk about contact information first. Had a big, busy week here in the SVC, and I know people have some thoughts on that. You can submit those thoughts through email to Shane at admin1svcsportzone.com. And email for Jay Bruce or for John Bruce is jbruce1018@yahoo.com. On Twitter, you've got Mr. What's your name? Mr. Shane here at SVC Sports Zone. That's the handle at SVC Sports Zone. And he uses the hashtag SVC Sports Talk for his SVC Sports traffic, I guess we could say. And he's also got a Facebook profile, actually maintains two of them, Shane Combs, SEC Sports Zone, and also SVCSportsZone.com. And on Twitter, Mr. Bruce, his handle, @CoconutWallPapa, and he too uses the SVC Sports Talk hashtag. And I noticed the other night that Derek Webb was using the SVC Sports Talk hashtag as well when he had some traffic for SVC listeners and followers and so forth. When he does that, he uses a different handle than he does when he does Buckeye News and Information. His handle there is @DWebWrites. That's @DWEBBWRITES. And then you can follow him as well in his Buckeye News and Information @DW1509, the very verified account. And I noticed he gave us a shout out the other day, guys, as he was driving up to the game. He was listening to the podcast. So,
hey, Bruce, on that Derek Webb page, he's had some incredible coverage throughout the year, but he had written an article this past week on DeMarcus Carroll there at Uniota. That is an absolute must read. It was really, really good.
Yeah.
So I would encourage people to do that. And he even started talking to me about starting Instagram the other night for the website. And so he's got us up and running there as well. I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know a whole lot about that, but Derek's moving us up in the
social media world.
As Bruce is constantly trying to push me, John, to do a better job of. So, Derek, I appreciate that.
Yep, we do appreciate it. And we ought to have Mr. Webb some night on the podcast. So.
Yeah, we will. I know the weekends are really hard for him with the football coverage here. Maybe as we move down the stretch here, we'll be able to do that.
So. Okay. All right. That's all I got, sir.
All right. Well, I appreciate you staying on there so that we can honor the soccer kids this week. I know last week with the volleyball, this week with the soccer, but it's just something that we really pride ourselves on across all the sports on doing that. So, John, appreciate your efforts on that as well. So, guys, until next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center and all the other sponsors on the website, for Bruce Knox and all the people behind the scenes in at DBK Media Services, and for John Bruce, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportsZone.com, where we are 100% SVC. 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.